Welcome to the Inside Out Style Podcast with Imogen Lamport, your scientist of style. Each episode, you'll get real-world style advice for women of every size, shape, and age. And now, here's Imogen.
Hi, this is Imogen Lamport from Inside Out Style, coming to answer your colour and style questions. Let's see what we have today. First question comes from Anita. During quarantine, your nails always look nice. What is your routine? Are your nails artificial? I cannot have gel or artificial nails at work. Any suggestions how to keep nail polish on for more than several days? Well, my nails are actually, they are dipping powder nails. So I actually do them myself, which is not too hard to do. I don't think they're anywhere near as good as the professional ones are. But certainly, you know, I've got better at doing them over the last year or so that I've been doing them myself. And, you know, I have very, very, very thin, weak nails. Doesn't matter what I do. I have tried everything under the sun, taken the supplements, put the stuff on them. They just break when I look at them. So I found that the dipping powder nails is the easiest thing for me to do at home. I'll share a couple of links if you are interested to know what I use. So I've used Gelish, I've used Cuccio, I've used SNS. They're all pretty much the same. And the powder seemed to work across all of them. So once you've got some powder, it doesn't really matter which version of the liquid you seem to get. But certainly that's what I do. And they are, I have to submit my, one of them's broken. It's about to be replaced today. But yes, so that is what I do. Now, I find regular nail polish very, very hard to keep on because I have very brittle, weak nails that just bend really easily. So the more your nails bend, the faster any nail polish will break. And that's why, you know, a solid nail means that the polish stays on for longer because it's not breaking. So if you've got nice kind of stiff, thick nails, you'll find that polish stays on for much longer. Versus if you've got my kind of weak, bendy nails, it tends to break off much more quickly. But that said, I did find, and I know I did a review on the blog a while back, there was some Sally Hansen nail product, and I know Revlon does the same sort of thing, and it's a longer lasting nail polish. I think it has more bendy, flexy, you know, kind of particles in it that allow the nails to bend a bit, so it does not chip off quite as quickly. So I will also link to that so that you can find out what that is. But really, I think, you know, keeping them shorter, of course, is going to be better. Regular manicures. I mean, I use quite a lot of hand cream anyway. I don't know that, you know, a bit more moisturizing and stuff is supposed to help your hands. But sadly, I have got really weak nails. So mine are false nails. Mine are kind of dipping powder, SNS, Gelish, Cuccio. There's lots of different brands that do it these days. So, you know, it's one of the kind of systems where you paint on a thing and you dip it into a powder and then you paint another layer over and dip it in and do it again, dip it in and then you file it and, you know, put on an activator, it hardens it up and it stays there. And then you have to take it off with acetone. You have to kind of melt them off with acetone after a couple of weeks, which is not great for your nails. But my nails are so weak anyway, I don't think it makes much of a difference. So that is how I do my nails. And yeah, so if you can't wear artificial nails, I would suggest there are some longer wearing nail polishes. I know Sally Hansen and Revlon both do them. So they do seem to last longer. They've got a top coat and they've got a colour and a top coat. And it just seems, it does stay on for longer. My experience with them is they do actually last a bit longer. But I would also keep your nails shorter because then there's going to be less bending and flexing. And of course, as every nail person will tell you, don't use your nails as a tool to pick things off and to open things and to scratch things and all those sorts of things. Because, of course, the more you use your nails as a tool, the weaker they tend to become. So there we go. Hopefully that helps you. Let's have a look here. What's next? Okay, Lindy said, now it's getting cooler or colder. Is there a way to be smarter colour-wise with all the layers? Does the collar under a sweater need to be the same or different colour if you're wearing a coloured jacket? So I noticed that when I was wearing lots of different colours at the same time on a Zoom, it started to look a bit messy. So I'm wearing two colours at the moment. I think really you want to think about what works for your colouring. Of course, everything comes back to you. You are a unique individual. There is no one answer that works for everybody. Sure, one colour plus a neutral is very easy. So you've got a coloured jacket, a neutral shirt could work really well. But of course, it's having those colours relate and work together. And this is where having a palette of colours really helps, because generally those colours are designed to work together. So your mixing and matching problems should be minimised. But of course, not every colour works as perfectly with every other colour either. So remember that when we're mixing colours, mix tints with tints. So like light colours with light colours, medium colours with medium colours, and dark colours with dark colours. That is always the easiest way to mix colours together. Also, think about intensity. Bright colours with bright colours, muted colours with muted colours, and kind of medium, you know, softness colours with other medium softness colours. So really, you know, the more we have more of those colour properties in common, the easier colours are to mix and match. And of course, then we've got two, that cool with cool and warm with warm. There we go. Simple. As really. So, but if you feel like that you were looking a bit messy, I'm wondering if there was something about that collar not sitting right. Was there something else about that shirt maybe that you felt that it started to look a bit messy on screen? Some clothes work better in life and other clothes work better on screen. And that is something I have discovered over the years, particularly taking photos where you think this article of clothing works really well when I'm moving around and doing things. But when I take a photo of it and it's static, it doesn't seem to work quite as well either. And so particularly when you're sitting, two things like jacket shoulders can ride up, shirts can ride up, collars can ride up, all those sorts of things. So when you're sitting looking at a video screen, this is why I think one of the tips I remember that all newsreaders would do is they'd be sitting on the tails of their jackets to keep the shoulders down so that they weren't riding up as they were speaking. So that is something too to think about, that if we're sitting and talking to someone like we do in a Zoom meeting or, you know, on video, that some clothes can kind of not sit very well versus they may be fine when you're moving around and doing things. So that's also something to consider. But I would suggest if you're thinking about colours, if you're not a really high colour contrast, maybe just one colour with a neutral is enough colour. But if you are high colour contrast, having those couple of colours really will work well for you. But remember, it's just mixing the right kind of colours together. The kind of colours that naturally go together are always going to look better together. Now, if you're on a Zoom call and everybody else is wearing neutrals, you might just feel like you're standing out because you're the one wearing colour. This can actually be a great thing because people see you. It's very hard when you think about it. When you're on a computer screen and you're one of many tiny little boxes on that screen, you're nowhere near your real life size. And it's very easy to get lost on one of those calls and nobody ever sees you and you just disappear. So particularly in a professional environment, wearing a bit of colour helps you be seen. It helps you make a bit more of an impact. It helps people take notice of you. And I think that makes your job a little bit easier if people are automatically taking notice of you because you're seen, because you're there, and because you're in colour. And I have written a blog post all about what colours to wear on video and some other video conferencing tips as well. So do have a look at that. I will also link to that as well so that you can find that really easily. So hopefully that helps you when you're thinking about it. So I would say that maybe some of that messy was actually something about how it all sat together, not just having a couple of colours together. Something to think about. Without saying it, it's always impossible for me to know these things. Okay, our last question for today. Emily says, how to keep beauty practical? I mean, I love beauty and looking good, but we run a commercial fishing business. Now, there's something that doesn't require mascara, does it? And juggle that with looking after three small boys at home. What are some tips on textiles, cuts, and any garments that can withstand wear and tear the best? Here, I would be looking for of course, machine washable. If it's everything on machine washable and tumble dryable, those things are probably very important to you, that easy wash and wear. So we are looking at fabrics that, you know, often a blend of, say, two fabrics can be much more sturdy and robust. So like a cotton elastane, you know, they keep their shape. They don't shrink too much. All those sorts of things we're thinking about. We're getting regular wearing. You know, good quality wool also wears very well. You just have to wash it. And you can do a cold machine wash very easily. You just have to do it on a gentle wool cycle. And don't put it in the tumble dry. But wool can be a great, breathable, very great fabric to wear. And as far as, you know, like a beauty regime goes, you know, this is where I'd go, you know, have, if you're doing, you know, makeup at all, it could be just something simple and practical. And it can be, sometimes it's just like mascara and lipstick. Often it's deciding what on us makes the biggest difference. For me, it's mascara and a bit of lippy, but also a bit of blush, because I find I look quite pale without any blush. I kind of just, you know, people used to ask me if I didn't wear a blush, if I was feeling okay. Because I'm naturally quite pale. I don't have a natural blush in the way that some people have that natural blush. So looking at your own features and what kind of your natural features are, sometimes, like as I've got older and my eyebrows have disappeared, now I notice no eyebrows makes a big difference too. So these are those things. It's worthwhile looking at your face and deciding what is the biggest impact one thing can have on it, or two things. And that makes it very easy and doable every day. When I don't spend more than 3 minutes a day, you know, doing my makeup, and basically another 3 minutes doing my hair maximum, hopefully less most of the time. And I think that's many women these days. You know, we've got kids. Fortunately, mine are a bit more grown up now. In fact, my daughter turned 15 yesterday, my son 18 a month ago. But, you know, I do remember what it was like when they were young and they were little babies and, you know, and toddlers and trying to do anything for yourself. You know, I don't remember. It was a long time. I never got to go to the bathroom on my own for an awfully long time. So I remember exactly what it's like. So it is hard. We want to think about what's the fastest, easiest way of doing things for ourselves. And this is also setting ourselves up for success rather than failure. So don't have a hairstyle that needs a lot of blow drying or something if that's not what you've got the time and energy to do. You know, create yourself a makeup routine that's fast and easy, that you can do very easily and quickly without, you know, a lot of time and effort. I remember my daughter used to come and sit on the vanity next to me as I was doing my makeup, and she'd watch me, and I'd like sometimes just, you know, get the blush after I'd put the blush on, and I'd just kind of squiggle on her cheeks and stuff. There's usually nothing left on it by the time I got to her. But she liked just the feeling of the brushes, and she enjoyed just sitting there with me. So that gave me that few minutes to do it, where I knew exactly where she was and she wasn't getting into anything. I do remember one day when my son did get into my makeup bag and he was naked. He came to see me and he was very proud of himself as he'd covered himself in mascara and lipstick from head to toe. So, you know, oh, and my daughter, she actually got one of my eyeshadow palettes and some, I think it was rubbing alcohol or hand sanitizer or something, put the two things together and then smeared her body in it from head to toe. So, you know, we've all had a few accidents, but that's where, you know, these things happen. So it is one of those things to think about, is like a fast and easy beauty routine, fast and easy hair that works really simply. So you, and for many young mums, it can be just have hair long enough to put it up in a ponytail, because you can brush it out of your face, put in a ponytail and look smart really easily. And then as far as clothes, so I would go fabrics with a bit of stretch in them are very practical, particularly for getting up and down off the floor and looking after young kids. So something with a bit of elastane or lycra, basically it's the same fabric, just different names. You know, things that are easily washable, so your natural fibres like cotton and wool, things that are, you know, and some of the, you know, the other synthetics, like polyester and stuff. Viscose can make some fabrics more comfortable to wear and give them a lovely weight and drape, but they do break down in dry cleaning. In tumble drying. So be very wary of, not everything wants to be tumble dried. So if you really want that wash and wear wardrobe, viscose is probably, and Lysol is the same sort of wood pulp fiber, don't work as well in the tumble dryer. They tend to shrink and the fibers break down. They can become soft when they're wet. So this is where polyester can be great, but polyester will start to peel and shrink over time. So, you know, just can be a little bit wary of that. This is why, particularly in high temperatures. So the more you tumble dry things, the faster your clothes degrade. So this is why I actually hang as much of all my own clothes. You know, they all just get hung up and drip dried. One of the things when we built our laundry was I got a huge drying cupboard built in, multi-layered. It's got a heating vent that goes into it so that, you know, in the winter it dries very quickly. But yeah, so I hang everything because the tumble dryer really degrades clothes. So, you know, if you need to tumble dry everything, then you have to really think about the fibers. And I've got some different fabric. I've got some, you know, like some blog posts too about different fibers and certain properties of them to think about. But I always go, two fibers is often great. Three is okay. Once you get to four or more fibers, you're looking at fabrics that will not last terribly long. So generally don't spend your money on them. And there are particular fibers like acrylic that just also do not last well. And often 100% cotton will either shrink or stretch as well. That's where having that elastane, that kind of two fiber fabric, can work really well. When we're thinking about those wash and wear things. So I like to think, like, this jacket is great. It's wool, but it's got stretch in it. It's actually got some stretchy kind of knitted arm panels. Very comfortable and easy to wear. I can pop it with a pair of jeans. I could put it over a dress. There's lots of things I could wear it with. So I'm always looking at things like a denim jacket is great, except I generally don't wear a denim jacket with my denim jeans. But, you know, it can be a great sort of thing, particularly like pants. And this is where these days there's so many jeggings and leggings, and like leggings and tunic tops can also be something that can be a really great, comfortable, practical sort of outfit if you've got young kids. And it's thinking about really just going not too sloppy and too, you know, kind of outsized, or just things that are looking old. Tend to make you look less stylish. So it's not hard to be comfortable and casual, but also practical. If you just choose your pieces well, you maintain them. So I am a little bit careful about how I launder my clothes so that I keep them for much longer. A lot of my clothes are between 5 and 10 years old. If I go into my wardrobe, I think, when did I buy that? And I go, oh my God, that was when I went to here or there, or because I buy quite a few of my clothes when I'm traveling. So, you know, I can remember, I can think I've had them quite some time. Not everything lasts as long. I don't expect this t-shirt's going to last as long as this jacket will. But that is also, there's a big difference in their cost as well. So I would expect this jacket to last much longer. But I'm also not going to just chuck it in the washing machine every time I've worn it. So it is thinking about some of those things. So hopefully that helps when you are thinking about, you know, what to wear. And this is where jeans are great, but it's keeping jeans in good condition. Once they've hit baggy and saggy, that can mean that you start to look more sloppy. And that's where things like jeggings and stuff can be great, when they've got that extra elastane in them. But then it's just finding the tops that work really well for your body shape to go with them. So there you go. Hopefully those little tips help you. Please do keep sending me your problems, your questions, imogen@insideoutstyleblog.com. And of course, head over to the blog, insideoutstyleblog.com, for masses and masses. It's an encyclopedia of colour and style tips and information. And I look forward to speaking to you again soon. Bye for now.
Thanks for listening to Inside Out Style with Imogen Lamport. Be sure to subscribe to this podcast for more actionable style and color tips. And don't forget to visit insideoutstyleblog.com, where you will discover Imogen's encyclopedia of color and style advice to help you become your most stylish self. If you're enjoying what's here, please leave a review so we can bring you more of the content that helps you adore your wardrobe more, so you can get up, get dressed, and get out the door looking and feeling fabulous every single day.